This week's parsha is Parshas Vayeshev. And in the parsha, we find that it was decided by Yosef's brothers to kill him. They had a cheshbon, they paskened dina nefashos. He deserved to die for whatever his aveira was. And they said, we're going to kill him. Vayishma Reuven vayatzileyam miyadam. Reuven heard this, that they were planning to actually murder their brother, and he saved them. He saved Yosef from them. He says, "Leina kananavish." No, we're not going to kill him. And he continues, and he says, "Al tishbuchu dam hashlicha esel abar." Instead of killing him, let's throw him into a pit, and we'll see what happens. The pasuk is made that he had a cheshbon, he wanted to save him, he wanted to ultimately return Yosef to his father. There's a very famous medrash. The medrash appears a few places. One of them is in Rus Rabba, Perek He, Medrash Vav. The medrash says, Sha'akasav ba'al lamdenu. Shem Adam Aysem Mitzvah Ya'asena B'lev of Shalim. When a person does a mitzvah, you should always do it B'lev Shalim. Do it with your full capacity. Do it with your full heart. Ilu Hayyadeh Reuven Sha'akasav Machtiv Alav Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilim Yadam. If only Reuven had realized that his action of going to save his brother would have been eternalized in the Torah HaKadosha. The Torah is going to say about Reuven that Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilam Yadam, that Reuven heard and he went and he saved his brother Yosef. If he had only known that the Torah would record this forever, Haya B'Kseifai Haya Matinai Umaylichei Tzalaviv. Reuven would have not just said, we'll throw him in a pit and plan on coming back later for him, but instead he would have actually physically taken Yosef on his shoulders and brought him personally back to Yaakov Avinu. If he had only known that this was the recognition that the Torah was going to give him, this is what he would have done. He would have physically not just said, okay, let's have a plan, we'll throw him into a pit, eventually come and take him and bring him home. He would have actually put him on his shoulders and gone and taken him back to Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash continues, Ilu Hayedea Aaron. If Aaron HaKain would have known Shakasav Machtiv Viracha B'Samach B'Libai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to get out of being the leader of Klal Yisrael. He says, no, you know, my brother is going to be upset about it, and you know, he's a better candidate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're going to go back now, and Aaron is going to be Viracha B'Samach B'Libai. He's going to see you. He's going to be so happy for you. He's going to, even though you're his kid brother, and you're being promoted to the leader of Klal Yisrael, he's going to be happy. He's going to be happy in his heart to see you. If Aaron would have known that the Torah was going to say that about him, what would have happened? B'tufim U'mechailais Hayayitzeh. Aaron wouldn't have just gone out to greet him and give him a hug. Aaron would have gone and hired a whole band to go and greet his brother, Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash ends, Ilo Hayodea Bayaz, Sha'akasav Machtivai, Vayitzvot Lakeli, had Bayaz known that the Pasuk in Megillas Rus would have said about him that he gave to Rus, Keli, some parched grains, as you know, he took care of her when she came into his field. Agolim petumai sayamachila, he would have fed her not just parched grains, he would have given her the biggest steaks in the world. Lisha Avar, the Medrash ends, Hay Adam Isa Mitzvah, the Navi Kaisva. In the olden days a person would do a mitzvah and the Navi would transcribe it. And it's in the Torah, it's in the Neviim, it's in Ksuvim. But nowadays, the achshav kishadam eisa mitzvah mikaisa. You think people? It's not recorded every mitzvah that we do. It's only the biblical characters, the biblical personalities, they, the Torah, wrote about, but us not? No, there's a sefer for us also. People are writing down everything that we do as we do them right now. Who writes it down? Elio Kaisom Melech HaMashiach V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chaisim Al Yedehem. Elio writes it together with Melech HaMashiach, and Hashem signs off on everything that we do. What's the pshat in this medrash? The great Rabbi Elia Meir Bloch, the Talzer Rosh Yeshiva, he explains that when Reuven went to save his brother Yosef, he knew that he was doing something that was important. He understood that. He was Reuven. He was one of the Shiftei Kah. He obviously knew that he was doing something important. He was trying to save his brother. But he didn't know how historic his actions would be l'dar daris. He didn't understand at the time that he did it that this wasn't just a simple act in and of itself. This was going to have a domino effect. This is going to reverberate for all times. He's going to save Yosef. Yosef was ultimately going to save the entire world. Yosef was going to be able to send then for his family during the times of famine, bring them back to Mitzrayim, give them Goshen, allow them to be safe in Mitzrayim throughout the years of their servitude. This was not just a simple act that Reuven was doing. This was an act that was profoundly important, a seminal act in Jewish history. He didn't know that. He didn't know that the Torah was going to write about him that Vayishma Reuven Vatzilim Yadam. He didn't understand. He thought it was an act. It was important. But he didn't recognize how important, how globally important this act would be. If he would have, then he would have gone out of his way to do it fully. He would have done a B'leiv of Shalim. He would have literally brought his brother back on his shoulders. But he didn't recognize that much. He knew that it was important, but he didn't see the importance of this act in its nth degree, how really far-reaching this act would be. And the same thing is true with Aaron. He knew that when he was doing a chesed with his brother, it would be important. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that this action, that he would go and greet his brother nicely, warmly, and not have tainus on his brother. Who are you to be leading Klal Yisrael? I should be leading Klal. The fact that he came nicely to Moshe Rabbeinu and he warmly embraced him, that convinced Moshe Rabbeinu to take the leadership position. If, let's say, he wouldn't have done that, then and he would be upset with him, Moshe Rabbeinu probably would have said, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this. I don't want to take this position in Klal Yisrael because I don't want to cause my brother to be hurt. The fact that Aaron did it with a smile on his face, he came and he gave chizuk to his brother and said, you know, good for you that you got this position, Mazel Tov. That itself convinced Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, to get them through the entire Shibud of Mitzrayim, to take them through the Midbar, to split the sea for them, to bring them on, to be Mekabel the Torah. All this because of that one Maisa that Aaron did. He didn't understand how powerful that individual action would be in a historic perspective. And the same is true with Bayaz. Bayaz gave Rus, treated her nicely, gave her some parched grains, let her feel at home on his plantation, on his farm, on his field. And as a result of that, Rus was interested in staying religious. Rus was Megayeres. Rus ended up marrying Bayaz. Rus ended up bearing the seeds of Melech HaMashiach. All from that one Maisa of Achnasas Archim, of giving her, had Bayaz realized the extent of his actions, what was going to come from this, he would have given her Agalas Ptumais, he would have given her the most delicious of meats. But he didn't have any clue, he didn't have any idea that this was going to be recorded for all time as being so important. And because of that, he felt a little bit short of the full degree of what he should have done. And this is how it is, of course, with all of us. everything, and this is what the point of the Medrash is, that we all have to know that as much as we think that every little thing that we do has very little importance, who am I, mi ani, like mi anochi, how, you know, does it really matter if I go and wake up for davening and go daven tefillah b'tzibur? Does it really matter if I learn another taisis, another daf gemara? Like, is it really important if I give this guy tzedakah, if I invite this person over, if I put my arm around this guy's shoulder when I see he's down, is it going to make a difference? It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not important. That's how we look at everything in our life. It's like so trivial. Everything is so unimportant. And I don't amount to anything. Nothing that I do is really important. Maybe a big rabbi, maybe a president, maybe a, you know, somebody that's super on the world stage. But me, I'm just a little guy. I'm learning in yeshiva. What's the chilek whether or not I do it a little bit better, a little bit worse? Does it really matter? And this medrash is teaching us that every little thing that we do is not little. It's huge. It's being recorded. And someday we'll be able to look back and see the far-reaching effects of every little thing that we did throughout every day of our lives. I'll give you an example. Rav Shach had a Mesira from his Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, who had a Mesira going back all the way to his great-grandfather, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who is a Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Gaon. And this is the Mesira that we have. That one time, there was a... the wife of the Vilna Gaon, we don't know much about, you know, Rebbetzins, generally speaking. We don't have so many resources about... We know a lot about Gedalia Yisrael. We know very little about their wives. We know a few stories here and there. We know a few Divrei Torah, you know, that we have b'Kabbalah from a few Rebbetzins throughout history. But very, very little do we know about, you know, about the wives of Gedalia Yisrael and what they did and what they contributed. But there's a story that's told about the Rebbetzin of the Vilna Gaon. What she did, besides for being the Rebbetzin of the Vilna Gaon, was she was a gabbayis tzedakah. She raised money for tzedakah. And she had a partner, that she, another woman that she would go around collecting with. And they raised a lot of money for aniyim, for nitzrachim in Vilna. And this partner that the Rebbetzin had was very sick. And she asked her, listen, do me a favor. It doesn't seem like, you know, you're going to make it very much longer. If on the tzad that you don't make it, you go up to Shamayim, could you just come back to me in a dream and tell me a little bit about what's going on up there? I'm curious. This is how the story goes. So she agreed. She said, if I can, I'll come. A few weeks later, Shitaka came back to the Rebbetzin of Vilna Gaon in a dream. And she said that everything that we did in our life was very, very important. Very important. We get a lot of schar, both of us. She was just talking about the tzedakah collections that they did. We get so much schar for all that tzedakah that was raised and how many aniyim we fed and how many kalas we married off and how many yisaimim we were able to take care of. But, she says, remember one time we were going, the two of us, collecting to a very wealthy lady in a large house and we knocked on the door. She wasn't home. So we walked away and we were walking down the block and all of a sudden we saw she was coming in our direction. And you picked up your finger and pointed, said, there she is. And we went into her house, she gave us a nice check. We both got schar for collecting money for that circumstance. But you got more schar than I did because you picked up your finger and pointed to that lady. And because of that, your schar was much greater than my schar. And the takeaway from this story is that every little tenua ketana, every little thing that we do, is profoundly important in our lives. We don't even understand it. We can't understand it. But like every maisa that we do, and not just the maisa, it doesn't just get recorded that on this and this day, you gave $5 to tzedakah. It's recorded that on this and this day, you walked to a place, He walked to the Pushka in the middle of the Beis Medrash, and you walked 15 steps, and then you took the money out of your wallet, and you had to find the money, and then you put it in the Pushka, and that money was, and you did it, Batznei Aleches, no one knew about it, you did it after everyone went to sleep in the bed. Every little tenua, every little thing that you did is recorded. It's not just the money, it's the way that you did it, and the impact that it had. Where did that money go to? Well, that money was spent on Sfarim for the Beis Medrash, and that sefer was used countless times, and you getting schar for all of that, or was given to an ani, and that ani was able to make a nice Shabbos table for the family, and because they were able to eat nicely, they said divrei Torah and they sang zmiris, and they were able to be normal and healthy and happy, and all of that is accrued to your cheshbon to the most microscopic degree. Every little thing that we do is not little, it's huge. We just don't realize it. We're just like the Avicenu HaKadoshim before us, like Reuven, and like Aaron HaKayin, and like Bayez. These were great people. But even they didn't realize the truest extent of everything that they did. If they had known, they would have done it so much greater. If we would know how important everything that we're doing is, we wouldn't just do it shvach, we would do it with all of our Ramach Evarim Shatzagidim. We would do it with all of the Slavas that we could muster because this is being recorded. If let's say I told you that Arsko was writing a book about you and everything that you do in your entire life is being written down, and at the end of your life they're going to come up with like a really nice book all about your life story, what would you do? You would be very busy your whole life knowing that to fill it up. You're gonna give shiurim, you're gonna give money to tzedakah, you're gonna do chesed, you're gonna start organizations, you're gonna be really nice to your wife, there's gonna be stories about how you are, you know, so great to the janitors in the hallway, and you would live a life that was worthy of an art scroll biography. But what we're learning today is that v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, as the Mishnah Navi says, everything that you do is actually a biography. There's a biography being written about all of us. And everything that we do is in that biography, and we have the ability to make a beautiful biography. But we don't realize that. We don't think that our life is anything worthy of a biography. Who am I? I'm just another guy walking through. I'm just trying to get through life, schlep through life and get through it and, you know, do what I can, the little that I can, in the best way. If a person would understand that their life is historic and meaningful and purposeful, and there's a cheshbon for everything that we're, the reason we're here is we're all here to do a very important mission in our own lives, then we would live our lives differently. We wouldn't waste time, we wouldn't do things shvach, we wouldn't put on our tefillin, half sleeping, we would do everything with like all of our oomph. That's what you see, G'dayli Yisrael, whatever they did with everything that they had. They put everything that they had into it. You know, Hanukkah is coming up. There's a story that I remember many years ago. There was an elder bacher, an older single bacher who lived in Brooklyn. And he lived in a basement apartment in Brooklyn. Like, there was a house and there was a family living in the house. And then they rented their basement out. I lived in a basement apartment in Brooklyn for many years. And it could get depressing sometimes. You know, there's a family upstairs or whatever, and you're like sitting in this basement apartment downstairs all alone in a subterranean level. It's not always geschmack. Anyway, this bacher is maybe in his 30s already. He didn't have a family, he didn't have children, and it was Hanukkah time. And Hanukkah is a great time of year if everything is going well for you, but if things are not going well, And I think Lahavdil by the Gayim is the same way. It could be a really nice time, but it could also be very depressing because you take stock of what you have, you look at other people, and they have, you know, families. Anyway, this bacher was sitting downstairs on Hanukkah night, and upstairs they were making a Hanukkah party, like a masiba, a family party, and they're inviting, you know, this young couple, young family with a few kids. They're inviting their parents, their in-laws, their cousins, their siblings. And this guy Nebuch was sitting under, hearing all the people coming into the house and footsteps and, you know, music playing, and the latkes, the smell of the latkes was wafting down the stairs to his basement, and sufganiyot, and he was like so depressed. And all of a sudden there was like a knock on his door, the door separating the upstairs from the downstairs. And it was the woman in the house. She says to this Alter Rebbe, she says, you know, Chaim, why don't you join us? You know, just join us for the, we're having a Hanukkah party. You know, it'll be nice for you to come and you know, just have some Simchas Hanukkah. So he didn't, at first he was like, oh, you know, reluctant. She encouraged him. And he washed up a little bit and he came upstairs and he had a great time. And he was playing with the kids. He was playing dreidel. He was eating. He was just enjoying Hanukkah. So, at the end of the night, after all the guests had left and the kids were put to bed, he was talking to this couple and he was helping them clean up and put the chairs away, the tables away. And he said, I want you to know something. He says, I know that you think that you did a chesed by inviting me, and you did. I was very lonely downstairs. He says, but what you don't know is that this was going to be the last night of my life. He says, I was very low. I was very depressed. I had no interest in living. This is my life. I'm a 31-year-old, 32-year-old guy in Brooklyn in a basement, no family, no friends, no Hanukkah. I had no reason left to live. I literally was about to take my own life, Rachman Litzlan. He says, and then you knocked on the door and you were literally Mechayim Mesim Mamara. You were Mechayim Mesim by just the smile and the invitation, the kind words. You saved my life. You didn't just do a chesed. This is how our life is. We have opportunities to do things that we don't even understand what we're doing. You think if you make a chavrusa shaf with a guy that's weak in learning or that doesn't have a chavrusa and is lonely and a little sad, you think you're just doing a chesed of learning with. You don't know. You might be literally saving his life. You might be literally giving him the confidence going forward to date and to get married, to have a family, to have children, grandchildren that are iskim b'tayra mitzvahs, all because of that one little seemingly insignificant chesed that you did. You don't realize when you give tzedakah, you think, okay, you know, I did my good deed. I gave a $5 bill to the pushka. I gave chickens to Shabbos. I gave this and that. You don't realize that where that money go to. The Chavetz Chaim writes that in Parshas Bahar on the mitzvah of Echzakta, when you're mechazik an ani, when you give money to an ani, what you're actually doing is you're feeding him. You're feeding his family, you're causing shalom bayis, you're causing the children to be healthy, you're causing the children to be able to stay frum and not go off the derech. You're doing so much, v'chzakti, you're supporting him, but in a way that you never understood, but in Shamayim they'll show you. He says that in Shamayim, they'll ask you, did you do every mitzvah kedasa kedin? If you did it properly, they'll show you how much you did. The flip side of this, which I don't really want to talk about as much because it's very scary, is that the things that we didn't do properly, let's say, you know, we took a pass. We had money to give to tzedakah, but we decided, you know what, instead of giving that money to tzedakah, I'd rather keep it to myself. But if you would have given the money to tzedakah, you could have saved this guy's life. You would have been able, but because you didn't, now this guy had to go home and he's depressed. He got into a fight with his wife. He, you know, his kids got very angry and terrible ramification. You're going to be shown all that also. Sometimes a person is in a position to help another person get a job. People very often are unemployed, and a person that's unemployed, it's a horrible, horrible situation, because besides for the fact that you don't have money coming in and you're spending any savings that you might have, but it's a very you lose any dignity that you have. If a wife, you know, comes home from work and she sees her husband just sitting at home all day because he couldn't get a job, it's very, very embarrassing for a husband. And the children see that the father's not employed, and it has a very bad, it's very, very troubling. For if you go and you get another person a job because you have a good job in an accounting firm and a law firm and you're able to pull somebody else in, or you have connections, you're able to hook somebody else up and get a, you think, okay, I did a chesed, I get it, and it's a good feeling to get another person a job. You have no idea beyond the job what you really did. You didn't just get the guy a job. You saved his marriage. You saved his dignity. He's able to live now with a certain pride, comes home with a paycheck every week, all because of you. You did something amazing. Had you known what you were going to do in the fullest form, you would have done it much quicker. You would have gotten him a job, a better job, with more perks, with more benefits. You would have really gone to bat for him, because you'll see someday how much you accomplished for this person. You didn't know, so you did it nicely, but not to the fullest extent. But if you would only know how much you were able to help this person by getting him that job, it would be an amazing, amazing te'elis for you, because you would have done it that much greater. And this is true for everything. You make a shidduch for, sometimes we know we have the ability to think of people and shidduchim for other people. I have somebody on my block, and I think of a nice girl, and I have my chavrus, a nice boy, he's dating. I put it together. That shidduch is not just a mitzvah that you did, you got a shidduch. All of the results that come about because of that shidduch, they got married, they had a family, did mitzvahs, they did maisim taivim, they had grandchildren, great, all because you did that shidduch. L'dar dairis, there's hakaras hatayv. Just tell you a quick story that came to my mind. Rav Shimon Schwab was a famous, Gadol. He was the Rav in Kaladas Yisur in Washington Heights, a spokesperson for Klal Yisrael. He once told over the story that he's eternally grateful to my great-great-grandfather. My great-great-grandfather was the Würzburger Rav. He was the Rav in a city in Germany called Würzburg. He was one of the Paiskei Hadar. And he was a very well-known personality in Jewish history. But Rav Schwab had a great-grandfather. Rav Schwab's great-grandfather was somebody by the name of Rav Avram Erlanger. Rav Avram Erlanger was, you might know the name Rav Avram Erlanger because there's a sefer called the Birkas Avram, a contemporary classic sefer on Chumash, on Shas rather, on the Masechtas and Shas. And so this was his namesake. His grandfather, his great-grandfather was this Avram Erlanger. And this Avram Erlanger lived in Switzerland. And he was a very wealthy man. He had a wife, and he did not have children. Did not have children. And he didn't know what to do. So I think he was from Lucerne. Anyway, so he went to the Würzburger Rav for an Eitzah, traveled to Germany, to Würzburg. And the Würzburg Rav asked him if there's a mikvah for his wife to go to, a local mikvah. He says, no, it's a big problem. Every time his wife needs a mikvah, she has to travel, very, very far until she finds one. She comes back home. And it's already it takes time back and forth. It's a big... So the Würzburg Rav says, listen, you have money. He says, here's my Eitzah for you. He says, build a mikvah in your house for your wife to go to. And then, mitzvah Hashem, you'll have children. The Chacham Adav Minavi, he did that, and he had, I think he had 12 children. My father has at home a big, fat sefer. It's a Shtambam. It's a sefer of Yichus. It's all about this Rabbi Avram Erlanger. He had, I think, 11, 12 children at the end. And each of these children had, huge families of their own. There's very big families, Erlanger. In Brooklyn, there's a Mashkech in the Mir Yeshiva. His name is Erlanger. He's a son-in-law of the Ali Shur of Revolvi. And there's Erlanger's, the Birkas Avram. There's very Chashev Erlanger's, Rabbonim, all over Europe, Erlanger's. And then the Schwabs come from the Erlanger's. So Rav Shimon Schwab, Rav Mordechai Schwab, Rav Moshe Schwab, these great Gedolei Yisrael all come from the Erlangers, from Rav Avram Erlanger. That was his grandfather, great-grandfather. So Rav Schwab was like eternally grateful to the Würzburger Rav because of his Eitzah, he was born. And that's how it works, that whatever we do in our lives has everlasting effects. When you make a shidduch with somebody, when you arrange a shidduch, it's not just, oh, wow, you know, I get credit. I made a shidduch. I made 10 shidduch in my life. You get credit. In Shamayim there, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, whatever you do, it's not just the fact that because of you, these two people came together. Because of you, these two people had a large family or they had a small family and they were able to be mechanech their children beautifully and these children got married and they had dar dairis, dar yisharim, mevarachim, and they were able to have so much Torah being learned and so much Torah being taught and so many tzedakah, b'chesed, things that were happening. All the ripple effects of this shidduch that you made are not to be understood. We can't understand them. If Reuven had only known the far-reaching effects of saving Yosef b'kseifei malichai, he would have carried him on his shoulders to his father. He had no way of knowing this. We don't think about what we do in our life as being historic, as being seminal, as being something that have effects that will last 1,000 years. We're just happy to get through the day. If we daven, we come to Minyan, we learn a little bit, and we put a little money in the pushka, we're happy. That's a good day for us. But we have no idea how much everything that we did matters. That everything that we do, if you make somebody frum, we all have the ability to make people frum. I don't mean you have to join, you know, NCSY or JEP or do some, you know, really effective kirov and be makar. I'm talking about just even kirov kraven. You make a person that's already frum a little frummer. You take a bacher that's a little shvach and you're mechazik him, you inject some chizuk and hadrach into him, he's sleeping every day and you pull him out of bed and in a nice way and you get him to come to yeshiva and you get him into things. And now because of that, he got even a little bit better. You don't understand the ripple effects of that. Certainly if you make a baal tshuva, you take a person in public school and you bring him and now he's putting on tefillin every day. And he's keeping Shabbos, and he's getting married, and these are things that we have absolutely no idea about. There are people that made even one Baal Tshuva is unbelievable. If you make 100 Baal Tshuva, there's yeshivas, there's, you know, Reb Noach Weinberg, who knows how many people he was makariv throughout his life and beyond today. You know, Project Inspire, Eshet Torah, all these movements, and Rebbetzin Youngreis, and the list goes on, and all Shuvu, and so many organizations that have done such things, Ar Sameach, and NCSY and, you know, all these organizations do amazing work that we have no idea the schar for these things. But it's not just schar, okay, you got to check that you're makarev somebody. Ledar dairis, lenetzach netzachim, you will get schar for everything that you did. And when you hear about these things, it should affect us in a very profound way. These are life-altering concepts. This medrash is not just a simple medrash. This is a medrash that teaches us that everything that we do, and the medrash ends. The medrash says that during the times of the Nevi'im, the Navi wrote things. But who's writing things down for us today? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is signing off on what Eliyahu Navi Melech HaMashiach is writing. Everything that we do is being recorded. There's an art scroll biography that's getting thicker and thicker every single day about us in Shamayim. We're going to read it someday. And we're going to be amazed that this is what I did. I didn't think I had such a... I didn't think my life was so substantial. What did I do? I wasn't a gadol hadar. I didn't start a yeshiva. I didn't start a huge org. Yeah, you don't have to. You just have to do everything and do it b'leiv shalem, because whatever you do has ripple effects that will amaze you. And everything is being recorded. Everything. L'tayv l'mutav. I don't want to dwell on the negatives, but the things that we are doing in a negative way is also written down in these books. And that's frightening, because the last thing we want is people to read, you know, a biography that tells too much about us. You know, Baruch Hashem, art school is very good at keeping only the good in. But let's say it was a biography that everything about us was in, or it was a documentary about every part of our lives. We'd have a lot maybe to be embarrassed about. This is what we say in benching every day. Shalei neva, shalei nikal mo'elambad. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't, just make sure that I'm not embarrassed. I don't want to be embarrassed, lo'elambad. I don't want to have a busha, bizyainis. Is, you know, as good as the good stuff that I have is a pride for me, the bad stuff is also going to be very embarrassing for me. And this is something that, you know, we also have to keep in mind every move that we make, how everything is recorded. I'll end with that. You know, it's scary that everything is recorded in the bad sense. We wish that only the good was recorded. But, you know, we have the ability to edit our biography also. Just because we did something that we're not proud of, it doesn't stay in the biography unless we ignore it. But if we're able to do tshuva, tshuva has the ability to hit the delete button and make it a perfect biography. There's a story that's told, you know, I've heard it said, b'shem, about the Ktzais and the Nesivas. I don't know if it's true. Rav Braunschweig, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to always say it over, b'shem, the Ktzais and the Nesivas. But, you know, even if it isn't, it's a great story. You know, the Ktzais and the Nesivas were contemporaries. They both wrote very classic Sfarim. They're both considered to be the gold standard of Lamdas on Chayshe Mishpat, on Dine Maminis. And the Ktzais, the Nesivas argues a lot with the Ktzais. The Ktzais is considered to be a greater classic than the Nesivas. As great as the Nesivas is, the Ktzais is the Ktzais. And the story goes that one day, the Ktzais and the Nesivas bump into each other, and they're schmoozing, and the Nesivas asks the Ktzais, says, you know, we both wrote classic Sfarim, but your Sefer is hands down better than mine. It's just considered to be a much greater Sefer than mine. He says, tell me your secret. Like, you know, how did you do it? How were you able to write a Ktzais? I wrote a good Sefer also, and the Nesivas is quite fine, but it's not the Ktzais. You know, there's a story about the Ktzais that he wanted to get a Haskama, so he went to a certain Gadol, and like, if the Ktzais is getting a Haskama from a Gadol, you can pretty much rest assured this was a Gadol, you know, of epic proportions. And the Gadol, he brings like his galleys of the Ktzais to this Gadol, and he says, you know, he'd like a Haskama. He says, I can't just give a Haskama, I have to look through it. Have to write it, you know, you have to stay in town for a couple of days while I learn through it. And, you know, and I'll get back to you. If I like it, I'll write you Haskama. So this person waited one day. He waited 2 days, waited 3 days. He said, you know what, it's not going to happen. He probably forgot about it. He probably put it on a shelf. It's forgotten. He's not going to give me Haskama. I just might as well pack my bags and go home. He started heading home. He packed his bag. He started going to, you know, to the horse and buggy. All of a sudden he sees that there is a Hachnasa Sefer Torah in town. It says there were, you know, there's the corn trucks, you know, like with all the flashing lights, the spinning crowns. They didn't have it back then, but I'm just giving you a mashal. And the chuppah and the rav is like dancing, and all the people, the city are dancing, and he's holding what appears to be a Sefer Torah. So he says, you know, before I leave town, he says, maybe it's nice to be mishtativ a little bit. The city's having a Hachnasa Sefer Torah, let me be mishtativ. And, you know, he comes closer and closer, and the rav looks at him. And he picks up, it wasn't a Sefer Torah, it was his galleys of the Ktzais. And he was saying, you know, the Sefer is so chashuv, that's mamisha, it's kedai to make achnas Sefer Torah for this Sefer as it's coming out into the world. He says, how did you do it? The Nesivas asked the Ktzais. How did you write a Ktzais achayshin? How did you do it? So he says, let me ask you a question, he says to the Nesivas. He says, you know those early morning hours, you know, you wake up sometimes, I don't know, you know, how many of us do it, but if you do it, it's those are the crystal clear hours of the day. It's quiet outside. There's no kids screaming. You know, your wife isn't up yet, and you're, you know, you don't have to do anything. You're just able to sit and learn by yourself, let's say in your study, or some people go to these Batei Medrash. You see, you know, videos of like in Lakewood, whatever, they have these early morning kailos, Lutsk, and whatever, and it's, you know, it's like Lebedik, like you hear screaming at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. He says, you know, those are the crystal clear hours of the day. He says, what did you do during those hours, during those early morning hours when everything is nice and quiet and perfect in life? What did you do? He says, that's the time that I wrote my Sefer. That's when I wrote the Nesivas. He says, you see, that's the difference between you and me. He says, why? Well, what did you do during those early hours? He says, those are the hours that I edited my Sefer. when I have a clear... I wrote my chidushim whenever I wrote them. Whenever they came to me, I wrote them. But my editing, what I took out of the sefer, that's what I did in the early morning hours of the day when my mind was crystal clear. And I said, you know, this is okay, but it could be better. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to improve on that. I'm going to add a raya from here and take out that. And this, that's what I did during the crystal clear hours of the day. The most chashuva part of writing this book is not so much the writing of the book, which is very chashuva, obviously, and that's what we've been talking about, but it's the editing of the book. It's making sure that the book is really perfect. And to make sure that it's perfect and that we're not going to be embarrassed by it, and that the pride that we'll take in the knowing that so many things that we did were so important are not going to be overshadowed by the things that we're really not proud of, that's when the editing process comes in. That the editing is learning Musar. The editing is doing tshuva. The editing is thinking about the things that we regret in our life and trying to change them. And when we're able to do both, when we're able to write a beautiful book that has so many great anecdotes about all that we've done, the davening that we did, and the kavana that we had, and the learning that we did, and the amount of learning that we spread, and when we took friends that weren't so good in learning, we were able to learn with them, give them chizuk, when we saw that they were down, do chesed to strangers, give money to aniyim, ma'i schitim, kimcha de pischa, do things that are great with our lives. These are things that our la'ilam ba'ad, the baal tshuvas that we make, and the shidduchim that we formed, and all those are the amazing positives that are in our biography. But it's also very important at the same time to get rid of the negatives in our life. And if we have things that we are not proud of, we have averus that we continue to do, then it behooves us to try to hit the delete button on and get rid of them. If we get rid of them, we do tshuva, then they're out of the biography. If we're able to take our mitzvahs that we do and make them better, like the Mesillas Yesharim writes that, you know, in Zehirus, how we have to take the averus and get rid of them and also look at the mitzvahs that we do and weed out the bad in those, the shalei lishma in those and the laziness in those, that's the 1-2 punch that will form this most eloquent and beautiful and best-selling classic biography that's going to be our lives. We have to have both. We have to have the recognition that everything that we do is chashuv, every moment of every day. The Gruz Rebbetzin raising her finger is extra schar. That means that every little thing that we do, if we get up in the morning, but we don't get up with that frishkeit, with the geschmack, that's going to be on our cheshbon. So we have to learn to do that better, to learn better, less bittul Torah, more lishma, putting on tefillin, tzitzis, talith, everything with more hiddur. The more that we do, the more our biography will show. B'chol ma'asecha, b'asefer nechtavim, mitz Hashem, we should write a perfect, beautiful, exquisite biography. And all of you are. By the fact that you're here today on an Erev Shabbos and a short Shabbos, it shows, it's me'ed k'me'ed edim, how you cherish what seems to be a small thing. There are many people that are not here. Many people that felt that it wasn't that important. They could sleep, they could go somewhere, they could miss, they could, and that's fine. But the fact that you're going and you're doing, don't think it was for nothing. Don't think that it wasn't appreciated by me. Don't think it certainly, lahavdil, wasn't appreciated by the Bari Olamim. He watches us, he sees what we're doing, he sees our efforts, he knows it's difficult for us. You think he doesn't know how difficult it is to wake up and how difficult it is to shmir seinayim and kiyam ha-mitzvahs and limud ha-Torah? He knows that it's hard. And he sees that we're trying. And if we're trying our best, then that is such a profound, profound chelek, words and chapters and volumes of our sefer that we're writing every day, every minute of the day. And Mitz Hashem, we should all be Zaycha Lachameh V'Esrim Shlei Neva Shlei Nikolim. We'll have a beautiful biography, so much to show for ourselves, and be so full of pride in everything that we've done. Have a beautiful Shabbos, everybody.